Okay, we're going to continue on with the three types of visions that that we started out discussing on last week. I think we've been dealing with it the past few weeks. We had discussed the false visions. Okay, the first one. Remember, in this lesson, you know, we're just saying three types. We're not saying that it's limited to that, but we're not saying it's limited to that, but we're just saying that there are three types that we're going to deal with. So I just want to make sure that I reiterate that. But the second one we're going to deal with is visions that's associated with warnings. There are times, if any of you recall, and can you get me the story of Balaam? Where the ass warned him? Okay. Now, you know, there are times where we can. And I pray first, and then we'll jump right in this. Father, Yahweh, we just bless your name on tonight, and we just thank you for just giving us another opportunity to get in your presence. We seek wisdom and understanding, and we know that, as always, you will lead and guide us in truth. And we just bless you in the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Alrighty. Now, if all of us can recall, there have been circumstances or a circumstance where we may have had a dream or some form of intuition. I'm just looking for some things just to kind of give an association to this second type of vision. You know, intuition, a dream, or something like that. To just kind of explain some things as far as what I understand, and I have a limited understanding of this subject matter that I'm about to discuss. From what I understand, when we all sleep, we dream. It's just that most of the time, we don't remember those dreams. But the way I kind of explain it, you know, the brain is kind of like a computer, so to speak, and it, you know, if once you turn it on, you know, it's on, you know, until it breaks down on you. Well, the brain is kind of the same way from that perspective, in that it, you know, it doesn't rest when you rest. Thank you. It doesn't rest per se when you rest, and I'm just saying that for lack of a better way to put it. It doesn't rest as you or as we rest, and so what takes place is we go into you know, a dream state, and there are different. There are different facets of it from my personal experience, where I have to be very careful, because I go into, that's why I can explain these levels of dreams, so much so where, and it's just, so these are terms that I use based upon my experiences, so much so that I have to, when I realize. There are times when I'm dreaming within a dream. Okay, and that's the best way I can call it. It's like you're dreaming, but then at the same time, you get to the point to where you believe that you are awake, but at the same time, you just inside of another dream, thinking I'm awakened, and but you're still inside of it. And so I just classify, for lack of a better way to put it, just from my perspective, you know, dimensions of dreams. You know, I call it the third dimension of a dream, whereas there are times when I'm so far into these levels of consciousness where if I'm not careful, I come up out of one one facet of it, and I'll still be in a facet of dream. And it's the weirdest thing, because, you know, you start doing things in that facet thinking you actually awaken, and then you be like, it's like your mind are registering. You be like, okay, at least with me, my mind are, you know, will register. I'll be like, okay, I'm still dream. I was dreaming that I was awakened and I got out of the bed and I'm thinking I'm awakened, but I realize as I'm walking, I'm still not awake. You know, that's the best way I can put it, because that's what I've experienced. I've experienced getting out of the bed and was still asleep, but thinking that because I got out of the bed that I was awakened. So I just call it levels of dream, where you dream within a dream. And sometimes you have to come out of it. And when I get it at that stage, it's difficult to come out of it, because your brain is thinking that you are awake when you're in reality not. And so it all has to come back and get on the same page so you can come out of it. Other than that, you know, I'll ask you some questions. Have any of you ever been in a state where you could hear everything that was going on around you, but you couldn't move? Yeah, those are those facets that I'm talking about. That's when you come up out of that facet of a dream, and now you're aware, but you really still sleep. It's just you can hear things that's going on, and it's the weirdest feeling. I mean, it's the weirdest thing, because you know. So I just call them facets of it, dimensions of it. Okay, and so I said all this to say this: there are times when you, or when we will remember things that happen in those dreams, and then there are times when you don't remember things. But we pretty much dream every night. We just don't remember. Well, in my experiences with these dreams or visions, there are times when I've been warned concerning events that was about to take place. Whereas I've seen things in detail. I've been to places that I've never been before. Saw the detail of those things and then ended up going there at a later date. Not realizing that I was being forewarned that I was going to be in that specific place at that specific thing, I was going to be at a specific place at a specific time, looking at specific things. And then, you know, when you see it and experiencing it, most people call them, I believe, deja vus or something like that, but the way I have experiences with Yah, just from that perspective, there are times when I have warnings. There are times when Yah will show me things ahead of time. Now, there are two reasons why you can get a warning from these visions. You can get a warning so that you don't go down that path. Or you can get a warning because Yah is letting you know this is what you're going to experience, and you be prepared for that experience so that you know what to do when that opportunity presents itself. I've had both where Yah is like, okay, I'm going to show you this so that you know to go around this. So when you get to this specific point, so he'll show me a warning vision where he show me at a specific point. And then once I go beyond that point, certain things will happen. And then when I actually get to that specific point, I'll understand, okay, I don't need to go that way right there. You know, Yah's already shown me that if I go in that direction, he's warned me that that's not a good direction that I should go in. Okay, those are warnings. So there are two perspectives of it. One that are for, which takes us in the other one. And so I'm not going to deal with it in detail. What I mean by the third one is the preventative measure when you look at the right. And so that's why I'm saying warnings. But I'm going to jump out of that preventative warning to just deal with the warning, okay? Because I know if I didn't explain that part and then jumped in preventative and went back, you know, you may miss something. So instead of dealing with the preventative measure, I just throw it out there to show that there are two types of warning, and that third type of vision goes into the preventative measure that will say, okay, don't do this. This is why I'm warning you. Well, these warning visions, I'm trying to decide if we want to deal with Balaam from that perspective. I'll tell you what, we'll just go to Acts chapter 10. You had something, go ahead.
Looking for an example?
I have one, but what example that you have, we may just use yours. I was going to go to Acts chapter 10.
I also
understand
the dream that Yah gave Pharaoh that Joseph had to interpret.
Okay, we'll use that one. Do you know where it's found?
No.
Okay. Go ahead. In the meanwhile, I'll just wait on it because I think that's a better one than mine. I was going to go to Acts chapter 10 and to show where Peter was being warned concerning the sheet. Matter of fact, I'll just go there and then since we're already there, per se, I know where it is, then we'll come back to that one. Okay, these are warning visions, okay? We'll look at Acts chapter 10, we'll start at verse 9, okay? Acts chapter 10, verse 9 says, on the morrow as they went their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray. About the sixth hour, and became very hungry, and would have eaten. But while they made ready the food, he fell into a trance. Okay, now when you look at the trance here, when you look at the trance here, it means a displacement of the mind. Okay. Bewilderment, it says ecstasy, amazed, amazement, astonished, trance. Okay, this is the same, and it says from 1839. I'm going to see if it it says the same thing, so it doesn't give detailed information as far as 1839 is concerned. I wanted to see if it was going to give me some things. From 1839. So when you look at it, this in a nutshell is a vision. Okay, it's a trance, and it just let us know it's a state of ecstasy, the mind. Most people go into trances. They just call it daydreaming. Okay, they just call it daydreaming. Well, Yah deal with you from a daydream state, just to kind of relate to you to understand what I'm saying from a trance. Okay, now again, he fell into the trance. Verse 10 and verse 11 say, and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descended unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manners of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. So when you look at these things that Peter is seeing in verse 12, it is letting us know that these things are something, as we'll find out, that is forbidden to eat, especially when we look at verse 14. So he describes these things because from us as, or we as the nation of Israel, we have a specific diet that's based upon Leviticus chapter 11. And, I encourage, you know, everyone to use that diet simply because Yah knows, he has the wisdom on why he created certain things. And certain things were created for specific purposes, and they were not intended to be consumed. And so he gave those instructions to our nation according to the law in Leviticus chapter 11. Well, when you see these in verse 12, It says, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. So it lets you know all these things in verse 12, they were things that was unclean. Now, when you look at the word common, it says profane, defiled, unholy. Okay, so there are things that Yah created that's unholy to consume. Okay, then it says a common, unholy, or unclean. Now, when you look at unclean, it means impure, okay, morally lewd, foul, unclean. So these animals, matter of fact, when we finished service, I believe it was last week, before last, all my days just kind of coming together. My brother-in-law, you know, went outside and he was like, man, you know, look at these big birds out here. Was someone had put a, you know, put a dead carcass of an animal on the curbside, and those they were buzzards, and those buzzards were eating it. And so when you look at it from that that perspective of the unclean, that's what it means. It's impure. It's something that we're not supposed to consume because of what it does. It's a scavenger. And so all these things that were listed in verse 12 are classified as scavengers. Even you can go look at Leviticus chapter 11 and you can see things that are classified as unclean that are classified that because they are scavengers. And so we were told as a nation to learn not the ways of the heathens, because you know you get certain nations of people, they will consume any form of meat, whether it's unclean or it doesn't matter. And so we were forbidden to do so. Okay, and so that's why Peter is saying this, and it amazes me how people take this passage and uses it, and they use it as a doctrine, to teach a doctrine that you can eat anything, you know, like pork and different things like that. Pork is unclean meat. You know, shrimp and all these different things, they're unclean meat, they're scavengers, okay? And so you get people that will use these passages to turn around and teach that you should consume these things, and they don't realize, you know, we obviously behind the eight ball from a perspective of the environment and food is not as healthy. But, you know, when you take into consideration that not only are healthy foods not as healthy, but then you have unclean foods that we consume, so it's even worse. So you're eating unclean, unhealthy, you know, and that's the reason why people are having different diseases and things like that. It's because of what we consume, okay, whether it's what we drink or eat and things like that, okay, so... verse 16 said, this was done thrice or three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubteth in himself, okay, what this vision which he had seen should mean, and again, you have people that teach this doctrine by saying, because, you know, Yah said in a nutshell what our, verse 14 again, but Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice, verse 15, spake unto him again the second time, what Yah has cleansed, thou callest not thou common. This was done thrice or three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now again, I'm going to reiterate what I said. You have people that will take verse 15 and they'll say, well, see, Yah was saying what he called clean, common. Don't call common what he called clean. Don't call foul or defile what he called clean. And so when you look at it from that passage, from that perspective, Peter then from that standpoint started to eat all these unclean and common things. Because verse 17 points out the fact that Peter didn't understand what the dream meant. Because he knew that Yah wasn't saying eat that. Because Peter understood the law. And he knew that Yah wouldn't turn around now and go against the law that he put in place to teach our nation what we should consume and not consume. So that's why verse 17 said he doubted. In other words, he didn't understand what that vision meant. So Yah was giving him a warning to a certain perspective in order so that when he had him to do something later on, he was going to understand. So Yah was like, okay, I'm warning you so that when I send you to this house, don't now look at these people and call them unclean. Because our nation looked at anyone that wasn't of the tribes of Israel as somebody who was unclean or a heathen. They were ceremonial or morally unclean. And so Yah showed him unclean things so that when Peter encountered these Gentile people, he wouldn't say, no, I'm not going to deal with them. I'm only going to deal with my people. Because these are unclean people, because Yah was teaching him that he was going to, that they were going to preach the gospel into all the world for a witness unto all nations, okay? So that's why verse 17 points out, now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision was he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry of Simon's house and stood before the gate. So as you read this story, you find out, as you start out in verse 10, that Cornelius was a man who showed favor to our nation. And so because of that, Yah ended up saving his whole household. That's why when you continue to read with this here, you see now Peter understanding the warning as we skip down to verse 34. As we skip down to verse 34, now Peter understand the warning that Yah gave him by showing him the sheep. Verse 34, Acts 10, verse 34 says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive. Now he understands what the unclean animals were. He says, of a truth, I perceive that Yah is no respecter of persons, not animals. So Peter had to get the warning in order to go and do once it was presented. He understood what he was to do once he was taken to that house. Other than that, he most likely would have been cautious or probably would not have done it, because we had no dealings with other nations during these time frame from a perspective of sharing things of the kingdom. Okay, we just had very limited dealings. There were things that took place, but it was limited. And that's why he says again in verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that Yah is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth Yah and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And so that's why the sheep was, when all the unclean animals was extended down, so that Peter would be warned, so that when the opportunity presented itself, he understood what everything meant from that perspective. And he preached the gospel to Cornelius' household, and his household was saved because of it. Okay, Yah warned him. Now, where was the one elder you had?
Joseph.
Yes.
Genesis 41.
We
start at verse, I guess, 15.
Okay. Genesis 41, verse 15. You want to deal with it? Okay. Genesis 41, verse 15. Verse 15 said, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none. And so I'm going to click on the word dream. Okay. I have dreamed. When you look at the word dream, it means to bind firmly, to dream, recover. I'm just looking for word. words that will give us a an association. Okay. Oh, I looked at the word dream. It's different. That's why. Well, it's from that one, though. It just says a dream. I'm going to click on 2492. Same thing. That's the same thing. I just want to make sure that it was the same thing. Okay, so he says here, verse 15, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. Okay, this is the this is a meaning that's associated with this here. Okay, so there's no one to open it up. There's no one to interpret the dream, okay, to interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou can understand dreams. A dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. Yah shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood up on the bank of the river. Yeah, and this is a better one. I like this one. The bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river seven kin. Okay. I believe these are goats or sheep, cows. Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Seven heifers, cows, correct. He says seven kin came up after them, and behold, wait a minute, let me go back. Verse 16, because I got ahead of myself. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, no, verse 17. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood up on the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kin. Fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kin came up after them, poor and very ill-favored, and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. They were so lean and poor-looking. He said, I've never seen anything like it. Verse 20, and the lean... And the ill-favored kid did eat up the first seven fat kin. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. But they were still ill-favored. In other words, he said, these ill or thin cows ate the fat ones. But you still couldn't tell that they had eaten the fat ones. Because they were still thin. They were still ill. Okay? You had anything else? Just interrupt. Okay? And then it says, verse 21, and when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. Okay? And verse 22, he said, I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up. Ears of corn. Corn or wheat. Seven ears came up to one stalk, full and good, and behold, seven ears. Let me make sure it's corn, because it could be wheat. My time when it was said corn, it meant wheat. So I want to make sure. It does say corn here, but it's also grain, so it is most likely wheat. Okay. And could be corn, so, but I would say wheat. But seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good, verse 22. And behold, seven ears withered thin and blasted with the east wind, sprang up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but they were none that could declare it unto me. First of all, what do you see? You see skinny cows eating fat cows. You see skinny ears of wheat or corn devouring or eating the good ones. So first thing you understand is this is metaphorically the same dream. He's just having different kinds or different examples in order to bring him into into an understanding of what he's being, you know, warned about. Okay, verse 25. Verse 24 says, verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. Yah had showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Warning. I like this one. This is a better one, Elder. Warning. So he's showing him, so to say, so for us to understand things.
This session is no longer being recorded.
Did it go off here? I think I should click on it again.
The recording has started.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So
it is no longer being recorded.
So are they going to be able to see the video?
Yeah, the video will be fine.
Okay.
I can create audio from Instagram.
Okay. Okay. So we good? Okay. Now, from that perspective, verse 25, he again says, and Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. Yah hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do, so as a warning. So it's vitally important for us to understand that as we are, I'm not going to say that because Pharaoh wasn't led by Yah, but yeah, I will say it, but from this perspective, it's vitally important for us to understand that as we continue to be led by the Spirit of Yah, there will be times when Yah will lead us through these warnings. He will show us things, and they may be symbol of certain things. Just like Yah showed me the way things are going to be when this dragon is cast out from the heavens of Revelation chapter 12. As in, I saw a dragon in a dream that extended from the heaven all the way to the ground. And when this dragon came down to the ground, it started to devour people, and people were running, and I mean, it was chaos. But at the same time, when this dragon that appeared to reach from the heavens to the earth started to cause chaos on the earth, I also saw where Yah was opening doors for his people to enter into those doors for protection. This dragon was destroying people, but at the same time, as I was out in the open and encountered that dragon, all of a sudden I saw a door like a portal open, and I went through the portal, and the dragon couldn't reach me. And so these were warnings that Yah was given to show that in the end of days we would be encountering tribulation, but because we were the children of the Most High, Yah would be opening up doors of protection to snatch us out of the hand of the enemy. That's why the scripture says when the enemy come in like a flood. Let me find that. You had some, Elder? Okay. Let me just find that real quick. I'm standard. I think it's numbers something. It's standard. Yes, Isaiah 59. Okay, Isaiah 59, verse 19 says, Isaiah 59, verse 19 says, so shall they fear the name of Yah from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy, So I'm going to say it without reading all of Isaiah 59 leading up to verse 19. It is because verse 20 says, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob." Verse 20 says, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob," saith Yah. And so when you look at that, it points out that those of us who continues to follow Yah, stay in his word, be obedient, verse 19 is something that we have guaranteed during these tribulation times. So we don't have to fear. So verse 19 says, "So shall they fear the name of Yah." That's the only fear we should have. But when you look at that word fear, it's Yah. It means morally to revere. So when I fear Yah, it's not that I'm afraid of him and want to run from him. It's a reverence there that make me fall down to worship the Most High. That's the fear. It's a reverence. It's a worship. So Yah says, so shall they fear the name of Yah from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. When you look at the flood, it deals with armies. It deals with processes or methods by which an enemy can come against you. When the enemy come in like a flood, the spirit of Yah will lift up the standard against him. So in that dream, Yah was warning me to foreknow that when these events start to happen, son, you don't fear. You're son of Yah. You don't fear. So I'm going to warn you ahead of time, allow you to see this dragon that will be cast from the heaven, and he shall have so much influence and authority and power when he's cast to the heavens that it's going to be chaos. Well, in the middle of this chaos, I'm going to raise a standard. Thus, I show you a dream of this dragon destroying people being killed and different things like that. And yet, Yah was opening up portals. He was opening up doors, and it was like people were running, and then all of a sudden a place would open up for them to go in. And when they would go in, you still could hear that dragon on the outside, but people were safe in these different areas these different portals that we were going into away from the enemy. It was complete safety in those places. Yah was warning, don't worry, don't fear. I'm the only thing you fear. Okay? But you fear me from a worship, a reverence point of view. Because I'll always raise up a standard against any enemy. That's why we don't fear what man can do to us. Okay? So I just wanted to point that out. Now, back to Genesis 41 now. Again, Yah is warning Pharaoh, but we have to understand that Yah is doing this, and this is the reason why Joseph is sent there in the first place. Remember, Joseph is sold into slavery, and that's why he's there, okay? Joseph also had a warning that his brothers would bow down before him, but he saw stalks of grain that was gathered together in a bundle. That's the way I can explain it. Gathered together in a bundle, he saw them bending over to his sheath, I believe, and then he has to dream about the sun and the moon and the stars becoming obedience to him also. Okay, and so he's warned so that when this happened to Joseph understood when his brothers even came to him. He said, no, his brothers was afraid. His brothers didn't recognize him because they thought he was an Egyptian. He was like, no, what you meant for evil, Yah meant it for good. Yah had showed me ahead of time that this was going to happen. So now in dealing with Pharaoh, Yah is showing Joseph again through Pharaoh's dream that there are some things that, that has to take place. Verse 5, 25, remember, Elder, if you have some, just go ahead. Verse 25 says, and Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. Yah hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kin are 7 years. The seven good cows are 7 years. And the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin are ill-favored kin cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What Yah is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Warning. You have something else? It's a warning here, verse 28. Verse 29 says, behold, there come 7 years of great plenty, thus the fat ones, throughout all the land of Egypt, verse 29, 30 now, and there shall rise after them 7 years of famine, the skinny ones, and all the plenty shall be forgotten. Why? He shows the cow and the corn eating the healthy ones, because the plenty 7 years, the next 7 years of famine was going to be so bad, no one's going to be able to tell there was plenty. That's what that means. Okay, then verse 30 says, and there shall rise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. Matter of fact, when we had this famine where we were not getting any rain, and Ray Hubbard had dropped about 30 feet. There were times when my brother-in-law and I used to go fishing, and we would let the boat down into the lake from a specific pier. Well, that water used to come all the way up to that pier, but when that famine hit, it was 30 feet down. I was standing up on that pier and looking down at people who were halfway out in Lake Ray Hubbard fishing, just trying to get to the water. And when you looked at it, when I looked at that, it was so amazing, because I remember I stood on that same pier and saw water at the level of it. And then to be able to look at that years later and see the water had gone down 30 plus feet, it was just amazing, to the point to where it appeared like that water never was at the bank of that pier. It was amazing. So I walked down the pier where we normally let the boats off, and walked out where people were fishing. And I looked back, and I mean, I never imagined that water was that down that low. And it appeared like that lake had never been that high before. Well, you can drive through there now, and it's back up to that pier. There are trees that's out there in the middle of that lake that you can't see now, but when that time happened, you could see trees sticking all the way up out of that thing. There's trees in that lake, just that people don't know it, because those trees, that lake is about 10 feet or more above those trees that you could see during the famine. So this is what's going on in the land of Egypt during this time. It made them forget. Verse 31 says, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by Yah. When Yah show us, have you ever had a dream about something, and then all of a sudden you laid down again and that dream picked up again? Or you had variations of it? Matter of fact, Delana mentioned she had a teacher that she really had taken to, and you know, now there's some things going on with this teacher's health. Well, Yah was warning Lana ahead of time. I didn't know at the time what was going on either. Yah was preparing Lana ahead of time. That you know, I feel like she's a favorite teacher because of how she is about her. That her favorite teacher was very sick. And Yah was warning her ahead of time, because she kept coming to me, but Yah wouldn't allow me to interpret it. she kept coming to me saying, "Dad, I keep having these dreams. What do you think they mean? I keep having these dreams about my teacher. I just keep having variations of the dream." Yah was warning her that there was something going on with the teacher, and those dreams was in association with the health of the teacher. Okay? And when she finally got the news that Yah had already warned her ahead of time, you know, she still kind of took it hard, but it would have been a lot worse if Yah hadn't started preparing her that something is wrong. Okay? You have to be wise enough to realize that Yah is dealing with you in those same manners. He may show you variations of things. He may warn you ahead of time. My cousin that's in prison now, he's in prison for life without the possibility of parole. Yah warned me ahead of time what was about to happen to him. And I went to his mom, bless her soul, she's dead now, she's deceased now. I went to her and was like, "Listen here, auntie, you need to keep your son close by. You need to keep him close by because this is a dream that I had and I know what it means. Yah warned me and I knew what the dream meant. I was trying to prevent it, but Yah was like, no, I'm showing you what's going to happen. You can't prevent this." But my corner mind was like, okay, I'm going to warn you, aunt, so you can prevent this. No, Yah was preparing us. Well, in this dream, I was sitting in an apartment that I'd never been in before. My sister, who's deceased now, and her husband, they were sitting in the apartment also. They were sitting on one couch. I was sitting on the other couch. All of a sudden, the door was pushed open. My cousin was running. I mean, it's like the door was broken into. And when the door flew open, he was running. Well, when he was running, there were policemen behind him. And all of a sudden, they shot. And when they shot, we all fell. You know, my brother-in-law, sister, and I, we all kind of, you know, ducked and took cover, so to speak. And I was on this couch. Well, when I sit back up, a big number 69 came up in front of me. And when that big number 69 came up in front of me, I immediately woke up out of the dream. And the first thing I said when I woke up, I said this literally. When I woke up, I said, "Oh my God." I said, "Yah." I said, I said 69. Yeah, it was 69. I said, "Oh my God." I said, "My cousin just got 69 years in prison." I knew what it meant. Which was symbolic for life without parole. He would die there. Okay. Now, I've had family members that want to make efforts to get him out, but I know what Yah showed me without possibility of parole. And so when that came up and I sit up, I said it out loud. I said, "Man," I said, "he just got 69 years." I said, "Man, he's finna go down for life." And I tried to warn my aunt, but there was nothing that could take place from that perspective. Yah had warned. He showed the symbols. Again, just like the symbol here with Pharaoh. Pharaoh sees these different variations of things, but they have meaning to them. You have to be wise enough to, and I'm going to say this because this is what he just showed me. You know, Yah may show you, show you throwing a pickle, you know. Well, there may be symbolic for certain things. Just like these cows, thin and fat, was something that was symbolic of a reality. And so a lot of time you may have warnings over and over. You're constantly seeing these things over and over in dream. You go to sleep. You pick up a variation of the same thing again. Well, y'all's warning. And I've had so many of those warning types of dreams and things like that. Where things were in detail where Yah was warning me. This is what's going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it. Be prepared to deal with it and adjust accordingly. Yah deals with us that way. Okay? And as we know the story here, During the time of plenty, Joseph gathers all of the wheat and barns. And during the time of famine, that's when they have all this 7 years of storage of all this food. And so people in the known world at that time were being was being supplied with food by Joseph, who was second in charge of the food. And that's how our nation ended up in Egypt. It was during the famine. In the promised land of Canaan, there was a famine there, and that's why our nation ended up moving to Egypt. That's how we ended up there. And when Assyria conquered Egypt, that's when the Assyrian Pharaoh took over Egypt. And that's why the scripture said there was a Pharaoh that arose that knew not Joseph. Thus, our nation was put in slavery in the land of Egypt. Well, that started from this right here. When our nation came to Egypt in the land of Goshen, the best land that of Egypt during this time frame, because we were being led away from the famine. Okay, so there was a warning. Okay, that's why verse 34 says, let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all the food for those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, that the food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And so Yah warns him of what would happen. And as you continue to read these chapters, it actually did take place. Okay, so these are warnings. And so all of you, if you think about it, there may be times when an event actually happened, and you was like, man, I remember. Man, Yah was showing me back then. He was warning me. I just didn't pay attention to it. He was preparing me for certain things. I saw it ahead of time. Okay, he was warning. He was preparing me for those things. And so it's vitally important that we be conscious of these warnings. We dealt with false visions the week before. Now we're dealing with these warnings. Know it. It's going to happen even more. Especially as the days that are approaching, when this tribulation comes to its full head, when this one world order system comes to full power, we're going to need to be able to know ahead of time, being warned ahead of time, that some things are about to take place. Okay, and I have so many. Oh, I have just so many stories of Yah warning me about certain things. I couldn't prevent them. He just warned me that it was going to take place. Got me prepared for it. Okay? And so that's the second one that we dealt with from the three types of visions. And if there's not any questions or comments from this perspective of the visions, then we're going to go ahead and stop right here. Okay? I can't tell you enough. Pay attention to these things. Okay? Before I close, anybody got an example that you want to share? Okay.
I do.
Okay, go ahead. Let me turn it up here while I hang you up. Okay, go ahead. Just make sure you speak where everyone can hear you. We got quite a few people in conference.
Okay, my youngest brother passed away in June of this year.
Yep, remember you telling me.
But I'm taking care of my oldest brother, who's bedridden, and he's been bedridden for, this is the 10th year I've been taking care of him. So when the Lord spoke, he spoke to me and said, I'm coming to take him home. Well, I thought he was talking about my bedridden brother. And so my bedridden brother had a Corvette that I was trying to sell, and my brother was helping me, my other brother was helping me to sell it, and I just broke down and cried when I was talking to him, and he said, well, what is it? I said, I just feel like that once this car sells, he's not going to be here that much longer. And he said, well, why do you feel that way? And I said, well, you know, y'all spoke to me and told me he was coming to take him home, and it's just a feeling that I have. Well, it didn't happen quite like I understood it. So what happened was my brother Eric passed away. He got the Corvette in April of this year, and June he was gone. And so I was thinking, y'all was telling me about my brother that's bedridden, but he was telling me about my brother Eric.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And I remember you. I remember you telling me about that Yah had warned you, but you took it one way, and he was showing you another way, and he was preparing her, although he didn't give her the full detail of how it was going to happen. He still was preparing her, so she was prepared to certain facets to be able to deal with it, or it would have been even probably worse from a perspective of her being able to handle it if Yah had not revealed some things and started getting her heart prepared to experience a death. Matter of fact, I was in my backyard when Yah told me that he was getting ready to take Mom. And he also showed me from certain things in vision. So when I say he told me, I went into a trance in my backyard, and that's when he told me. So that's what I mean by that. I went into that trance, and he told me that he was getting ready to take Mom soon, and had prepared me for it. So when it happened, I had already been warned, and I was expecting those things to take place. And it did. And so it's...
Beth.
Go ahead.
And the other thing he told me is that he was coming to help me. He was going to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was going to hold me. And he's done that, because you're right. I just can't imagine what this would have been like if he hadn't warned me. So he helped me, and he's still helping me, and he's still holding me. And I'm just grateful that he thought enough of me to warn me.
Amen. You know, so... again, y'all, take heed to these things. Be prepared. Don't get weird now. You're laying down. I didn't try to figure out every dream I had. When you just put your trust in Yah and what is necessary for, you know, because what that's the reason why he led me to talk about, you know, the fact that we all dream on a nightly basis, just that we don't remember. And so always take it from this perspective. Those that you remember, take into consideration, pay attention to those things. There could be some things associated with it, or it could not be. There are some that I've had that meant absolutely nothing, you know, but I remember the dream. And so don't try to look into everything that you remember. Just be sensitive enough and led by the Spirit of Yah to the point to where when he does reveal something important to you, you know, pay attention to it and take heed to the warning. Okay? All right. That's it. Anybody else? You good? All right. I'll stop there. Father Yah, we just bless you, and we thank you for revealing to us just another type of vision that you do communicate with us on a daily basis in different facets, and we got to be conscious enough of how you flow, how you move in our lives, that you may You know, you may speak to us in visions. You may speak to us in your word. You may speak to us in any way that you choose. And we just pray that we're led by you enough to be sensitive, enough to realize when you're dealing with us, whichever way you choose. And we bless you for that. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. All right.